So how would you describe the internship culture on campus?
It's really intense. It's, I don't know, I would say that it's like, it's really pervasive. I think even people who don't really need to have internships during the year, like, go out of their way to get internships. Like, I know someone who's interning on the Hill who's like a graphic design major, and it doesn't really, like, that doesn't make any sense, but they're still doing it. And I think the same thing applies to like going abroad and stuff like that. Not everyone needs to do those kinds of things, but I think AU's culture puts a lot of pressure on you to do this.
It's very intense, especially with like SIS majors. I think there's definitely, you can feel like the pressure to get an internship as soon as possible. So it's a lot.
I mean, everyone's trying to get an internship. I feel like if you're in DC, which is, you know, one of the most expensive cities in the United States, and you're not here trying to get an internship on the Hill or with one of the many think tanks around here, you're probably wasting your time.
Tear down this wall.
From AWOL, this is Ripped from the Wall. I'm Grace Vitaioni. Internships. Students at American University see that word everywhere. It's on our homepage, it's on our buses, and it's always on our minds. Over 90% of AU students report having done at least one internship before they graduate. This compares to 68% of George Washington University students and 76% of students at the Catholic University of America. Our team also reached out to the career centers at Georgetown University and Howard University, but they didn't respond. Some AU students think that the DC-wide pressure to do internships creates unwarranted stress. Our research uncovered a much deeper problem: payment, or lack thereof. According to AU's Career Center, only 40% of internships offer hourly wages or stipends. This means that over half of AU students doing internships are working without compensation. And for those who can't afford to work for free, this can leave them unable to work at all. That leaves them missing out on valuable career experience for the sake of staying financially stable. When I interviewed Senior Director of Enrollment Marketing Ryan Greger, he talked about some of the benefits internships can offer.
Internships are incredibly helpful in terms of you determining what you like to do, and even more helpful in determining what you don't like to do. So I think a lot of students are smart in terms of trying out different fields and saying, interning at different places, and say, is this something I think I might want to do with a career, or absolutely, I would never do that for my career. You know, I think internships should be a path to exploration, should be a path to figuring out what you want to do, not necessarily just getting your foot in the door. They can do both. And I think they do both in many cases. It depends. You know, I think it's really up to the student to know what their limits are and to set those limits and to not make this a competition. I've seen it with students, with groups of students who are really competitive with one another in terms of what type of internships they have, how many internships they've had. And, you know, you're not getting any points for the amount of internships you have. It's not helping you precipitously in sort of like getting the job after graduation. So I think that's definitely a negative. I don't think students should compare themselves to other students in terms of amount of internships or perceived quality of internships.
Greger talked about how internships can be a tool for students to figure out what they want to do after college. And he's right. Exploratory internships can be beneficial for many students. At a school where the median family income is around $150,000, doing unpaid work can be an option for some students. But not everyone can work for free. In fact, there are many who can't. There isn't a lot of formal research about paid versus unpaid internships, but some students reported that income was a factor in the internships they chose. Mariah Redfern and Kate Cohn tweeted about their frustration with AU's internship culture. Their tweets got a lot of attention within the AU community. Redfern tweeted,
AU normalizes doing about three jobs all at once, and I've come to realize the real world is way more lax than that. I'm going to put less pressure on myself, and I think my peers should too.
Cohn retweeted Redfern and said,
American University's internship culture is so toxic. Expecting kids to do what? 3, 4, 5 internships in 3 to 4 years, probably unpaid? Or if you take them for credit, you pay for them with your tuition dollars. It's hell here.
Our reporters, Veronica and Nell, spoke to Cohn about her tweet.
How much was your choice to intern during your undergraduate career influenced by peer pressure from other students, peer pressure from the administration? Where did you feel like the drive came from the most?
So from students, I wouldn't necessarily call it peer pressure as much as kind of this expectation that everyone else had an internship, you needed to, but no one would say kind of, you should do it. Administration, I remember when I was accepted, like going to accepted students day things, and they're like, yeah, all the kids at AU have a million internships. Like some kids have four, some kids have five, some have six by the time they graduate. It's like, that's cool. Look, you're going out in DC and doing all this thing, all these fun, oh God, you're doing the government and you're not even out of school yet. And they did not say, most of them are unpaid. And most of them are going to ask you to be there much longer hours than you need to, because it turns out that the congressman is going to be there all night, so you have to. I wouldn't say administration directly applies pressure. I mean, they want you to intern and they will tell you that because it's for their numbers, as well as your advisor will say, you should do this, it's good for your career, which it is, especially in somewhere very competitive like DC. But I mean, the administration's, they will push internship opportunities at you, which are, a kind of roundabout way to apply pressure. They'll say, look at all these internship opportunities that were gifted to our school that we want you to get. But it's not like they necessarily help you get them. They just send you links to them. So they, they want you to do it. They ask you to apply, but then they don't help you get them, or they don't have a policy that would be, we only want paid ones for our students. I'm definitely not the only student who is resentful of the culture at AU where it's expected that you go through so many internships. Some of my wealthier friends are very happy to do unpaid internships because they don't see time as money in the same way someone who needs a minimum wage so they can pay their, at least minimum wage so they can pay their rent. I find my friends that are more in my same class background, economic background, are stressed. They want to keep up with, the students at AU who have the access. It's like, well, what do I do to keep up? I go through a million internships and I hate every second of it because I'm doing work. I'm doing actual work with actual results and I'm not getting paid, which is nuts to teach you that your labor isn't valued. It's the one thing about internships that I find is particularly insidious.
Redfern felt the same way.
The internships in DC are unpaid. It's just normal. You're probably not getting any money, so then you do have to have a job if your parents aren't supporting you. Mm-hmm. So there's this whole factor of a lot of this busyness is not even up to me. If I didn't have to be doing two at a time, I wouldn't. I think that there's a lot more conversation we need to have about access. There's a lot more conversation we need to have about self-development and self-care when we're in this kind of pre-professional environment and mentality. Certainly the conversation about payment is a super important one, and that will bring a lot of barriers down for people, but I definitely think it's a little more nuanced and it'll be a conversation that honestly employers need to start having. The focus right now is, students bringing that conversation up and speaking about it and raising this awareness, right? A lot of people don't even think about the fact that some people can't intern because they have to work.
While Redfern and Cohn had a lot to say, we also wanted to hear the administration's perspective. So we sent our reporters, Braden and Sasha, to interview the Director of Experiential Education, Brian Rowe. Rowe said experiential education is an umbrella term for types of activities outside the classroom, like community service, leadership, and volunteer work. He primarily deals with internships and described the Career Center's role in assisting students with finding them.
So what would you say is the role of the Career Center when it comes to internships?
Right. So we want to educate students as to why they should do internships and then also make the most out of the internship. And we're certainly going to help you locate internships that are right for you in your career trajectory and coach you and train you on how to find them, research them, prepare for the interview, and then maximize the experience while you're there.
Clearly, the Career Center can be useful in helping students find internship and employment opportunities. But according to Rowan Greger, it's ultimately the student's responsibility to get them. They acknowledge that internships are a prominent part of the student culture here at AU, but place an emphasis on quality over quantity.
You know, one of the things that we learned when we were conducting interviews with students is that some students feel as though the Career Center emphasizes quantity of internships over quality. Do you think that's true?
Our message is the exact opposite, actually. At AU, you have such a strong internship culture that my message is exactly the opposite. It's quality over quantity, right? I have students that come to me and they say, I've had 8 internships, you know, I'm about to graduate and I've had 8 internships. So that's really one a semester, or maybe, you know, maybe not the first year, but during the summer. And the feedback we get from employers is you don't need to have that many to look impressive on your resume. One other thing I always say is your pool is going to be fuller, more comprehensive if you're able to pay, right? And I talk to employers about if you have an unpaid experience to just suggest, well, you know, the students can suck it up and get this great experience and I'm not going to pay them. I talk about how, you know, that's a issue of privilege, right? And an employer, you know, if they're looking at doing that, they're going to get a subset of students who maybe come from affluent backgrounds who have the opportunity to do that. But if they pay the student in the internship and they're able to pay well, then their pool expands and they're going to have other choices and other candidates who might be fantastic in the job, and they'll have access to those candidates. We also work with the Office of Financial Aid. We have some money that we can provide for students in unpaid internships through something called the Eagle Internship Fund. I get a list of about 1,100 students who have the most demonstrated need, and I contact them and say, we do have this fund each semester.
How much is in the fund, do you know?
That varies a little bit, but each semester I'm able to fund about 30 students at a level between $2,200 and $2,500, and we might increase that a little bit to about probably $2,500. And again, the reason you don't see sort of big banners about this is because we work with financial aid specifically to look at the students with the most demonstrated need, and then we reach out to them directly via email. So it's a little way to help, right? But I certainly know, you know, it helps those students each semester, but really we want to focus on getting the employers to fund their own internships.
We also decided to reach out to a local advocate for paid internships. Our reporters, Veronica and Sasha, interviewed Carlos Marc-Vera, the co-founder and executive director of Pay Our Interns. Vera, a former AU student, worked 4 high-profile internships, all without a salary. One of those internships included working at the White House under the Obama administration. During that time, he experienced the frustration of working without pay.
Depending on office, some of them would, like, you're kind of expected to show up there when they open. So, like, 8 in the morning, and sometimes you're going to be there until, like, 9 p.m. And it's not paid, and you're required to wear a suit every day. And, you know, I only owned one suit. So what my parents, my family did, they just kind of, like, pulled in money, and they bought me another one. But there's only 2, and there's 5 days a week.
Vera could only afford to do this through the Eagle Internship Fund that Ro mentioned earlier. But D.C. is expensive, and a couple $1,000s can only go so far. He still had trouble making ends meet.
The way that we put it is, we sometimes hear folks like, oh, well, you know, they're not there to get paid. They're there for the experience. I'm like, that's awesome. But experiences don't pay the bills. I can't go to the grocery and go out the checkout line and have the cashier say, cash or credit, and be like, experiences, please. So the whole thing is pay them while they're there so they can pay for the transportation and costs that come associated with trying to intern in the 4th most expensive city in the country.
Vera now advocates for payment of interns in D.C., with a focus on Congress and large nonprofits. He believes unpaid internships are not an issue of company funding, but a lack of executive effort.
99% of the time, nonprofits can, in fact, pay their interns. The majority can. It's just because they don't want to. And one thing just, you know, keep in mind is we're not going after mom-and-pop's nonprofits. That's not, you know, our aim. It's these massive organizations, right? So, like, Save the Children. They're like a $10 million nonprofit you have their executives combined making over $1 million and they don't pay their interns. And I actually had, you know, one-on-one with one of their staffers. They're like, oh, just because, you know, foundations, you need to keep like a low overhead, which is like, you know, expenses. And I'm like, well, let's look up, you know, your tax forms. And I was like, your executives are making over $1 million. Don't tell me that, you know, setting aside another $30,000, $40,000 are going to break the bank. You just don't care about it. And I also think there is this horrible culture within the nonprofit, like social good world of like martyrdom, that you have to be like a martyr for the cause, right? Like you have to sacrifice everything for the cause. I don't think that's true, and it's toxic, right? How many organizations right now are fighting to raise a wage, but they don't pay their interns a peanut? Our motto of how we do this is, first is we believe in lifting up the stories of interns. More interns than not actually struggle in their internships. Even like I would say some upper middle income people, and part of it is because of college tuition, but that's a whole different situation. So long story short, a lot of folks are struggling with their unpaid internships, but there's kind of this shame of, I don't want to talk about my experience because I don't want people to know that I'm struggling, that, you know, I'm skipping meals, or I don't have enough money to like pay for my laundry, you know, stuff like that. So they don't talk about it. So this problem continues, everyone feels it, but no one wants to talk about it. So the first thing is we have to lift up the stories of interns, right? So that's like me opening up my story, or like Guillermo, the co-founder. The second part is research. So we went to Congress in 2017. There was no data on who paid and who didn't. That's not incidental. It's kind of what they wanted. They want that, right? To keep it under wraps. So we actually did the numbers. We, you know, surveyed all 535 offices. Then we went back to office and said, okay, these are your colleagues that pay. This is the way they pay, and they do it all differently. What model works best for you, right? And then it's like, oh, and by the way, we're gonna release this to the media.
According to Vera, this issue is not limited to DC. Employers nationwide place prior internship and work experience as their highest priority when hiring. He does admit that the culture here and in places like New York is hyper-competitive, but the issue of pay is paramount. He also believes that to a certain extent, universities do have some responsibility in supporting their students financially. Above all, Vera believes that people need to talk about this issue. The beginning of change starts with conversation. This means talking about the fact that thousands of students around the country are working without pay, and how that in itself is a privilege for many. It's time to give interns compensation for the work that they do. So let's start talking about it. Rip from the Wall is an American University podcast created by AWOL. This episode was produced by Braden Waddell and Sasha Fernandez. Our podcast directors are Braden Waddell and Maddie Cole. Our podcast producer and team leader was Sasha Fernandez. This episode was edited by Tim Madden. The rest of our amazing podcast team is made up of Shannon DeRazzo, Ethan Lipka, Nell DeCourcy-Brennan, Veronica Del Valle, and me. I'm Grace Vitaioni. Keep an eye out for future episodes of Rip from the Wall, and make sure to pick up a copy of AWOL's print magazine. Thanks for listening.